Good morning. Hello, everyone. My name is Ben Tafano, and I'm a senior at the Altoona Area High School. Some of you might remember me from May, whenever I sat up here with Pastor John and talked about my plans for the summer of going to Mexico. Since it's the week of Thanksgiving, I asked Pastor John if I could come say thank you for all of your support. Without this church, my summer wouldn't have been possible. Within the time I was in Mexico, Yugo Ministries built over 130 homes for the people of Ensenada, and I was fortunate enough to be part of 9 of them. Every week, I would see the makeshift plywood huts that these families called their house. By the end of the week, there were always tears, handing over the key to a new home with drywall, shingles, bunk beds, and bedrooms for everyone, even a dining room table for them to gather each night. Our church is so generous. You gave me more than enough money to cover all of my expenses and even more. One of my impactful moments in Mexico happened while I was working on one of the house builds. I had just come off the roof after finishing the shingles, and I was drinking some water near the road looking back at our progress. A lady approached me with a bowl in her hands, asking if I would want any of her homemade ice cream. ¿Quieres helado? She asked. I gladly accepted and asked how much she wanted for the cold snack. What she said to me was interesting. She said, pay me how much you want. I reached into my pocket and handed her $20 American and said to her with a smile, Dios es amor, which means God is love. She immediately started crying and gave me a long hug. I was confused after that because I didn't think as an American $20 was that significant. I asked one of my peers and they said that I'd given her about 2 weeks worth of wage. I learned that the people of Ensenada had a very difficult time making a living and providing for their families. I wouldn't have been able to do these kinds of acts without your support, so I thank you, and the people of Ensenada thank you for all that you've done. If anybody has any more questions about my trip or want to hear any of my crazy stories, because I have a lot and I'm a talker, so I'll be over in the cafe after the service. Thank you, everyone. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning to you. Good to see your smiling faces. It's always a little uncomfortable, you know. You come up and, you know, I kind of didn't time that very good. You have to kind of stand here for a minute waiting on that to be finished. And you guys are looking at me like, and I'm looking at you like. But we're so glad that you joined us here today at First Church. We're going to continue our study in Proverbs. Called the path, and today we're going to talk about how the heart is so very, very important. And let me begin by asking you a question. You know, how do you what do you do when you find yourselves on the wrong path, or you ask yourself, you know, how did I get here? How did I end up here in this place. Have you ever gotten yourself in a pickle and thought that? How did I end up here? Raise your hands if you've been like that. Have you? Yeah? Okay, the rest of you that are lying, raise your hands too, because, you know, this is a universal thing, isn't it? You know, you get to a place in life, and you're like, okay, how did I end up here? When I was 13 years old, my best friend and I, we decided that we were going to explore Gillies Cave. Gillies Cave was outside of my hometown there in Southwest Virginia, and this cave had been I'd known about this cave my whole life, and so my best friend Tim and I, we decided that we were going to go explore Gilly's cave, and we did. So we were back in the cave, and we had a flashlight, and we were exploring a little bit, and we got back far enough into the cave that it was really dark, and the light quit working. You know, and I remember having this distinct thought. Okay, how'd I end up here? You know? And I did what every red-blooded American would do. I said, Tim, this is your fault, okay? Because he's the one that brought the flashlight, okay? And then he looked back at me and he said, well, you were the one that got the triple D or double D batteries out of that radio at your house and said that they were good batteries, and we put them in his old flashlight and they lasted about 20 minutes, just long enough for us to get back into this cave. And if you've never been into a cave and the lights go out, you don't know what dark is. And I remember just thinking, oh my goodness, what is going to happen to us? Now, I'm here today, so obviously we got out alive, okay, which was glad. But I remember just having this terror about, where we were and how we were going to get out of this. And I must say that we have those kinds of moments a lot of times in life about a lot of things. You know, we end up in a terrible relationship, and you know, how did I get here? Or you end up in a terrible financial situation. You think, man, how did I end up here? You know, you have this situation with your health. You know, what happened that got me here? And so often, what we have to realize is that we put ourselves in those situations. I mean, how did I end up here? How did I end up on the wrong path? Because when we realize that a lot of times it's just our own choices and decisions that we make that get us to that place. And here's the thing, folks. This morning from the book of Proverbs, we're going to be reading about a section in the passage that's going to teach us why we end up there. But not only how we end up there, but how we can get back on track. And how we can find ourselves in a good place again, rather than in this place that is just absolutely terrifying. Now, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I said to you that this series is based on a book that was written by Andy Stanley called The Path. Remember, we talked about how our direction determines our destination, not our intentions, but our direction determines where we're going to end up. And let me read you a quote from Andy's book. It's really interesting. This is what he says. He says, our problem rarely stems from a lack of information or insight. It's something else, something we don't outgrow, something that another academic degree won't resolve. Look at this. Our problem stems from the fact that we are not on a truth quest. That is, we don't wake up every morning with the burning desire to know what's true, what's right, what's honorable. We are on a happiness quest. We want to be, as in feel, happy. And our quest for happiness often trumps our appreciation for and pursuit of what's true. So think about that this moment, and let's just be real honest with ourselves when we think about our own lives. What kind of quest are we on? Are we on a truth quest? Do we get up every day saying, God, what do you want for me? What do you want for my future? How can I know you and your will for me? Or are we more concerned about our comfort or about our happiness? Or about our just wanting to experience happiness in life? Because listen to me when I say this, folks. If we're on a truth quest, if we're most interested in God and what He wants for us, we won't be just concerned about about a momentary decision or something that brings us joy for a moment. We'll think more long term. Kind of like this. When you go into a cave that has no lights, you'll take new batteries instead of batteries that are almost dead. You see, because so many times when we find ourselves in the dark, it's because we've not prepared. We've not prepared to dispel that darkness from our lives. Christine Kane, I heard her speak one time, and she said about she was shopping with one of her young children one day, and her little boy wanted to buy a flashlight, and she finally said, okay, you can buy a flashlight. And so he paid for the flashlight, and he didn't want to put it in the bag. He wanted to carry it. And she said as they left the store, he proclaimed, Mommy, let's go find some darkness. I mean, are we prepared for the darkness that is before us? You see, because that's what I want to talk to you about today, because our proverb today comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and you'll be familiar with it. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And look at this. And He will make your what? Your path straight. I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I look at my path, it's anything but straight. It goes up and down. It's full of switchbacks. It's full of a precipice that is so scary to look over. You just never know what obstacle is before you. But here it says that God wants our paths to be straight. But we know they're not straight. But the point is here that we can have them straightened out by this wonderful perspective that we can get only from God. Matter of fact, would you join me? Let's just say this together. Would you just join me in saying this? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Listen, folks. When we find ourselves on the wrong path, I think Andy, in that quote that I shared with you just a few minutes ago from him, he makes a statement in there. Let's bring that one back up. And I want to show you something that he says in there. He says what? He says that our heart is on a happy quest, not a truth quest. And that our heart chooses the happy now rather than the happy later path. So the choice, folks, for us today is to make sure that we know that God wants to make our paths straight. Now, when you look at Proverbs chapter 3 and you read these beautiful words, the neat thing is what he tells us here. Let me give you a couple more verses there. They're not up on the screen, but listen to what he says. We read there verse 5 and 6. Let me read you verse 7. Listen to what it says. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son that He delights in. So listen, folks, as you look at this passage this morning, in just a few minutes, I'm going to get to some action steps. But before we go there, let's just answer this question. How does He say here that we can get a straight path? Three things. Number one, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Number two, lean not on your own understanding. Number three, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Trust in the Lord, lean not on your own understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways. Now, some of you may struggle with this verse and what it's saying to us here, but for most of us, this is a familiar sentiment. But I want us to see whether this is a new revelation to you or whether this is something that you need to be reminded of. And that is simply that our path can be straight if we understand that we must trust in God. You see, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, every time we bring a piece of money out before us, we're reminded of this. What does it say? In God we trust. But do we? Do we really trust in Him? You see, that's the starting place. It's somewhat ironic, I think, because so much, in my experience anyway, money is often the very thing that takes Americans' trust away from God. Especially if we have lots of it, we think that we are so self-sufficient. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does He mean by that? He means in every area of life, in every possible way, in every path that you take, in every category in your life, whatever it is, trust God. The answer is choosing the right path in trusting in Him, to go where He wants you to go, to live the life that He desires for you, placing all of your confidence in Him and all of your faith in Him, all of your hope in Him, all of your plans in Him. That is the challenge that we have. But you know what? So often, we don't do that. I mean, we think, you know what, I understand enough in this situation. We trust in our own knowledge, in our own understanding. But yet, Jeremiah says, the prophet says, that the heart is deceitful above all things. Trust in Him. Lean not in your own understanding. Acknowledge Him. What does that mean? What does it mean to acknowledge Him? Jesus said it this way: seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. You see, when He says trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He's talking about a promise here that is conditional in how we live for Him. So here, let me give you three action steps for your life and mine as we learn this lesson today. Here's the first thing. Listen, you want to remember these things. Write this down. Number one, don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't be a wise guy. Don't be a know-it-all. Don't think that you have all the answers. Don't think that you don't need to learn anything from anybody at any time. Don't be wise in your own eyes. You see, folks, a lot of times we don't think we need to consult God on certain things because we know everything that we need to know. I mean, have you ever refused someone praying for you because you say, it's not that big a deal? I've done that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Every decision, every fork in the road that you come to, wherever you are today, realize how you got there and realize that you need God's wisdom to go forward. Consult God in all your ways. Seek His guidance every step of the way. Now here's number two. Honor God's provision for you. Verse 9 in that text says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. After all, it all came from Him. And if you want Him to direct your path, let Him first of all direct your wallet. Direct your resources. Understand that everything that you have has been a gift from Him, that He is the owner and that you are the manager. And realize that He is going to care for you. You know, it's amazing to me when you look around at all of the resources that we have and how so precious little of it is really used for His glory, for his praise. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I've always felt like, and I'm sure that you have too, that almost seems backwards. Where your treasure is where your heart will be. I mean, most of us think that it should be wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. You see, that's why Jesus talks about these things in relation to a commitment. Making a commitment to honor God. And if you're going to acknowledge God in all your ways, certainly a big one of those is in financially. In what you have financially. Now, action step number 3. And this is really key. Don't blame God for your pain. You know, it's so easy. You know, I'm in a cave and the lights are out and it's dark and it's my friend's fault. You know, it's sometimes we even say, you know, it's God's fault. Why did you get me into this? When in reality, most of the time, the path that we're on is the path that we've chosen for ourselves. And what he is saying here is that we need to acknowledge him. We need to give our future to him. And we need to follow his direction for our lives. But do we do that? You know, talking about getting into a situation and understanding how you got there. Arlene and I, on our vacation trip this summer, we went ziplining. Have you ever been ziplining? Yeah, I went ziplining. If I ever do it again, it's because Jesus makes me in heaven. Not a fan of ziplining. Actually, the zip lines were awesome. I didn't mind the zip lines at all. They were just like, you know, you just hang on and go, woo, and slide through the air. It was kind of the in-between that was really difficult. Because we were there, and at one point we had to climb up this ladder that went straight up, and then it kind of went up this tree trunk, and it angled back just enough that you felt like that gravity was pulling you off the ladder. And I was about halfway up there, and I'm thinking, okay, this might be where I die. And then there was another time that you had to walk across this footbridge that, you know, I'm never going ziplining again. You know, that's my point. But here was the thing. I said to Arlene, you know, because I don't know if you know, Arlene actually went skydiving with her dad this past summer. And I told her, I said, if you go skydiving with your dad, you're going ziplining with me. I bought her a ticket, didn't give her a choice, and just said, you're going ziplining with me. And we went. And after it was over, Arlene said, John, if you knew everything about this, would you have done it? And I said, no, absolutely not. But you know what? As I was climbing up that ladder and I thought I was going to die, I had this conscious thought, well, it's your fault, John. You know, she didn't want to go. You made her go. You bought her a ticket without her even knowing it. And I think, well, if I die, I don't have anybody to blame but myself. You ever felt like, you know, it's almost like that in every situation you get to in life when you're not within the will of God. And if you think about what this passage teaches us, that we can trust in God, that we can put our trust in Him, and we don't have to lean on our own understanding, and that He'll make our paths straight. And when you think about that, okay, all right, God, I don't want to be wise in my own eyes. I want to follow your leading. God, I don't want to dishonor you with what I have because everything that I have is a gift from you. So I want to honor you with everything that I've been given. And God, I don't want to blame you for situations that I get in because even when I'm in difficult situations, you're wanting and trying to teach me something that's going to help me for the future. And when we get to that point, it's absolutely amazing what God can reveal to us. You know, I read an interesting story about a man that took his family to the Grand Canyon. Never been to the Grand Canyon. I want to go there sometime. But he took his family, his wife and his two teenage children, and they rode mules down into the canyon. And in describing the situation, he said that the leader got them together and talked to them about how dangerous it was, how they were going to be looking over some really sheer cliffs, how it was going to feel like that the animals didn't have a sure footing underneath them. But the leader, the guide, told them that really you only have to think about two things. Number one, follow me. And number two, keep the nose of your mule tucked into the rear end of the one in front of you. That was the only two rules. Follow me, he's going to be the guide. And then there's dad behind, and then the mom, and then the teenage children. He says, as long as you keep that mule really close to the mule in front of him, and you follow the guides, he said, just trust the animal to keep you safe. You know what? Sometimes I think that's what life feels like. That we're going down this sheer cliff, trying to get to a really good destination, but it is just terrifying. I think that this particular passage from the book of Proverbs really talks to us about this situation in life and how we can get through it. What does he say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, your own knowledge. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he'll make your paths straight. You know, the promise is that he can take a terrifying trail and he can make it level and straight and flat. As long as we're not depending on our own wisdom, as long as we're honoring him with all that we have, don't spend an ounce of energy blaming him for the pain in our lives. But realizing that two things. Number one, he's with us today. And he wants to straighten out the path that's in front of us. So let's trust him to do just that. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this wonderful morning. God, thank you for this beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture and for the tremendous meaning that is here for all of us. That God, we can trust in you with our whole heart. That we don't have to lean, Lord, on our own knowledge, our own understanding, even our own experiences. But that, Lord, by living a life that acknowledges you, that acknowledges your existence, and also, Lord, acknowledges you as the owner of all things, and that you've blessed us with so many things in this life. And then, Lord, by doing that and by acknowledging you that way, that you will straighten out the path that is before us. And God, I pray for every person in this room this morning that needs a straight path. That, Lord, they don't know how they're going to climb the next hill. They don't know how they're going to safely to navigate the next mountain. That they feel like, Lord, that they're just going to fall off a giant cliff and be no more. Father, may they put their total faith and trust in you. To just follow you, Lord, as their guide. And trust, Lord, that you can and will make our paths straight before us. We pray, Lord, that that would be so for each and every person that is seeking you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.